Welcome to our 19th SPG podcast. Good morning, it's Dr. Cassidy here, and I hope you're keeping well. We are still absolutely thrilled from Wednesday, with three wonderful young ladies having been offered their places at Cambridge. And today we're also delighted to welcome in the Aston Villa coaches to work with members of Year 7 and 8. I've just about recovered from the Salzburg game last night and the amazing joy of our girls going to Cambridge. And so straight on to pupil success. Congratulations to Joanne in 13P on receiving her place to read architecture at Queen's College, Cambridge. Congratulations to Yuita in 13U on her offer to read law at Girton College, Cambridge. And congratulations to Tara in 13S on her offer to read history at Christ College, Cambridge. And this is in addition to Ira in 13T on achieving her place to read economics and management at St. Catherine's College, Oxford. Such well-deserved and wonderful success for four remarkable young ladies who are also such gracious and fine human beings. Cambridge and Oxford are going to be as enriched as we have been at St. Paul's by their phenomenal contributions. Congratulations and very well done. Wednesday was the birthday of Mother Genevieve Dupuis, and as is the tradition, Heads of Year and Miss Forrest nominated pupils in whom they think Mother Genevieve would be proud. This is such a lovely accolade, and so congratulations to Adina in 9A, Evie in 8U, Emily in 8T, Ava in 11L, Malika in 7U, Leia in 11P, Emmy in 12A, Daniela in 10T, Rejoice in 13A, and Samantha in 12U. Well done to the winners of the weekend quiz on the writings of St. Paul and the modern geography of his life. Congratulations to Madison in 11L and to Tenny in 10A. Congratulations to our key Stage 3 basketball team, who won 34 against Holyhead. Yes, you've heard that right. 30 points to 4 against Holyhead. They showed amazing individual skills as well as fantastic teamwork. Well done to Kanisha in 8S, to Lena in 8A, to Mackenzie in 8A and Grace in 8T, to Harriet in 9U, to Palia in 9U, to Betty in 9U, to Annalisa in 9U, to Tracy in 9U, and to Melinda in 9U. Very well done to our Key Stage 3 basketball team. The year of reading really has become an excuse for us to present beautiful books as prizes. And this week we were delighted to present hardback copies of 1984 by George Orwell. And it was to two young ladies nominated by their history and politics teachers. Congratulations to Alex in 13L for her history and politics teachers gave the citation. Alex is so respectfully questioning of other students' views, which feels like what the world needs at the moment. And congratulations also to Emmy in 12A, with a citation from her history teachers for Emmy's incredible work ethic and excellent understanding. And I'm now going to ask three of our wonderful reader leaders to share some reading recommendations which you might want to consider for your daughter. Bella in 10U and Armiella in 10S are going to share some suggestions for Key Stage 3, and Connie from 10U a suggestion for Key Stage 4 and 5.
Good morning, my name is Bella and I'm in 10U. I would really recommend you buy the book The Boy at the Back of the Class by Anjali Q. Rove for your daughter. It is a heartwarming and powerful story that targeted ages 10, 11 and 12. I believe it will be perfect for those in Year 7 as it's written in a way that's accessible and engaging for younger readers, but also deals with deeper meanings such as refugees, friendship, empathy and kindness. The story is written from a child's perspective, as it follows Ahmet, a young refugee who joins the school after fleeing from a war, and he deals with the challenges of a new environment, such as speaking the language, misjudgment from his classmates, as well as stereotypes. I feel it allows readers to have an insight as to what it's like to be different, which helps them develop compassion and understanding. Without feeling too heavy, the book deals with topics such as war, refugees, and injustice in a way that the readers are able to understand and comprehend. At the beginning of the story, Ahmet is very shy and timid. However, as the story progresses, the narrator and their friends do their best to prove to him that he is welcome and wanted. When they find out Ahmet's parents are missing, they come up with a brave plan to help him. Their determination to do something good shows how small acts of kindness can make a big difference and hopefully will inspire readers to do the same. In my opinion, this book is very relevant, as many people are forced into the same situations as Ahmet. I feel that if we introduce these topics and challenges that many people face today in an age-appropriate way, as demonstrated by Ralph, then younger people will be able to support others in these situations and make them feel like they belong, much like our protagonist in this book. Finally, I would recommend this book because it helps readers understand what refugees go through and shows the importance of compassion and standing up for what is right. It's emotional but also funny and full of hope. The story teaches that anyone, no matter how young, can help make the world a better place for good. So, to conclude, my recommendation for you is The Boy at the Back of the Class by Anjali Q. Rove.
Good morning. My name is Armiella from 10S, and I recommend The Enemy by Charlie Hickson. The Enemy is the first of a 7-book series, and it follows a group of children surviving the aftermath of an apocalypse. The book explores more than just the fear in an apocalypse, as it highlights the dystopian aspect of it all, when the children soon realize that the real enemy is not the monsters outside, but others doing whatever it takes to live. Throughout the book, it constantly intrigues you and encourages you to keep reading with the expanding plots and stories within. What I really liked about the book was its clear inspiration from The Lord of the Flies. The author even mentioned how the book has some parallels with the famous novel. It really emphasizes the struggle these children would face despite the new opportunity of freedom they were given that came with the death of the adults. I would recommend this book highly to those 12 or older, as it contains themes of violence and death, but this book is good for those who are interested in plot twists and fast-paced storytelling. So I recommend The Enemy by Charlie Hickson.
Good morning. I'm Connie, and I would recommend Not Quite Dead Yet by Holly Jackson. It is an intense and emotional mystery that keeps you hooked the whole way through. It's different from a lot of thrillers because the main character knows she might not have much time left, which makes everything feel more urgent and serious. It is a bit of an older read as it deals with violence and some very heavy emotional themes. So because of that, I recommend 14+. But if you don't want to have your heart broken afterwards, I would not recommend this book for you. It is emotionally devastating. The story follows Jet Mason, who goes through a traumatic attack and finds out she only has a week to live. But instead of giving up and waiting around, she decides to find out who did this to her. The whole book feels like a countdown, making it hard to put down as you always want to know what happens next. Overall, Not Quite Dead Yet is a fast, gripping read that mixes suspense with deeper themes. It's emotional and sometimes uncomfortable, but that's what makes it stand out. If you like thrillers that also make you think, this book is definitely worth reading. So, I would recommend Not Quite Dead Yet by Holly Jackson.
Thank you to our wonderful reader leaders for their excellent recommendations and for all of their hard work in the library and for all of their efforts with the book swap last week. As we know, reading is a wonderful thing to do, and you are great gifts to all of our school community. Thank you. And so on to school events. Well done to our A-level politics students who had a superb online link with the US Capitol Visitor Center. They met with a Capitol staff member, spending time discussing and analysing the plans, debates and compromises forged during the creation of the US government. They also role-played as delegates at the 1787 convention and voted for plans considered for the Constitution. Our A-level students then were able to ask questions which included the impact of government shutdown on legislative employees and whether the presidency has, as a role, become more imperial. The girls were, as ever, a credit to our school. And thanks so much to Miss Tibbetts Forrest for organising this amazing experience of politics in the United States. So proud that our girls have gone global. Donald Trump, better watch out. On Tuesday, Holocaust Memorial Day, girls in history and RE reflected on the 2026 theme, Bridging Generations, Remembering the Past, Shaping the Future. As fewer Holocaust survivors are alive today, we discussed in lessons our responsibility to ensure that we never forget and never repeat the horrors of the Holocaust. We also evaluated and analysed the very powerful message of Maria Jackson, who said, "Remembrance is an act of healing. As we reflect on the magnitude of hatred, bigotry, and cruelty of the Holocaust, we also reflect on the moments of hope, the countless stories of those who, even amidst the horrors of the Holocaust, were able to hold on to their humanity. We draw strength and inspiration from their fight for dignity and their belief that love must triumph over hate." Thank you so much to sixth form parents for making the time and effort to attend our sixth form Paris information evening. Thanks to Mrs. Craddock for organising the 5-day visit in March, and to Mrs. Canavan, Miss Pandal, Miss Downs and Miss Bartlett for all their support. They will of course visit all the sites, including making a visit to the parish church where Mother Genevieve was baptised and went to school. No sooner have the girls from the Computer Science Paris conference returned when the sixth form will be going out. SPG are taking Paris by storm. Mother Genevieve birthday celebrations took place with birthday cakes, bon anniversaire, played as our bell music, and the presentation of the Mother Genevieve Dupuy prizes. On Wednesday, STEM Club had a very exciting experience of dissecting lamb hearts. They really enjoyed learning about how the heart pumps blood around the body and dissecting the hearts to see the four chambers. The future vets and medics were in their element, and there weren't too many screams either. On Wednesday, a group of young carers also had the wonderful experience of attending the Robin Hood pantomime at the Hippodrome. Thanks to Mrs. Canavan for organising this visit, which brought so much fun and laughter. On Wednesday, we were also extremely proud of the girls who participated in the maths challenge and using maths coding and sequencing to fly drones and program robots. Congratulations to our wonderful Year 8 representatives, Eleanor in 8P, Audrey in 8T, Xavier in 8S, Harriet in 8T, Isla in 8A, Sophia in 8U, Winnie in 8U, and Agnes in 8A. Very well done indeed, girls. Last night, we were very grateful to Mrs. Thomas for organising a visit to the Alexander Theatre to see Woman in Black with members of 8, 9 and 10. It was an excellent production, both frightening and thought-provoking, not least the quote from Mrs. De Winter, who said, "I had not yet learned that we make our own destiny. It springs from within us. It is not the outward events, but what we allow ourselves to make of them that count." As I said at the beginning, Aston Villa coaches started leading a STEM employability program with selected year 7 and 8 pupils for the next 8 weeks today. It is going to be a really exciting project, and the girls are very much looking forward to working with the Aston Villa coaches. Other football teams are available, but Aston Villa have reached out and we're very happy to respond. And so on to forthcoming events. We wish our cadets every success as they go to the regional finals to complete in the RAST competition at RAF Cosford on Sunday. We also wish our girls going on the Computer Science Conference to Paris safe travels. There is the parental meeting on Tuesday, the 3rd of February at 6 p.m. for the girls going on the geography field trip to the Amalfi Coast in Italy in March. This is organised by Mrs. Rich and you should have had notification about this. Wednesday, the 4th of February, is the South Area Network Inset Day, apart from all Year 11, some Year 13, 12 and 10. Thursday, the 5th of February, is Year 9 Parents' Evening. Year 9 have had ongoing presentations from subject leads in PSHRE, and this will be the opportunity to discuss curriculum pathways with your daughter's teachers. A number of girls have asked about the possibility of having a cheerleading club, and Miss Edwards is therefore organising this opportunity for Key Stage 3 on Thursdays after school until 4:10. And now on to Just One Thing, which this week is led by Miss Tibbetts Forrest, on how you can support your daughter develop her political literacy.
When we talk about political literacy, we're not talking about party politics, voting preferences, or encouraging young people to think a certain way. Political literacy is about something much broader. It's about helping young people understand the world they are growing up in and how decisions are made that affect their lives. From education to transport, climate change, online safety or public health, political decisions shape young people's everyday experiences. Political literacy helps them understand who makes those decisions, how they are made, and importantly, how they can be questioned, influenced, or changed. There are many resources that can act as conversation starters. Youth-focused news such as BBC Newsbeat or First News explain current events in accessible ways, while podcasts like The Rest is Politics can work well for older teenagers when listened to together. The Week's Junior Guide to Politics is a clear, engaging book introducing key political concepts and how decisions are made in government. But if there was just one thing you could do to support your daughter's political literacy, it might be this: to create regular, judgment-free conversations about what's happening in the world and to take her views seriously. This matters because confidence comes before knowledge. Young people are far more likely to engage with political ideas when they feel safe to ask questions, to make mistakes, and to express opinions without being dismissed or corrected. For many girls, feeling heard is a crucial foundation for confidence building in their voice. These conversations don't need to be formal or frequent. They can happen in the car, over dinner, or while watching or listening to something together. First, talk about the news little and often. This could be a local issue, something trending on social media, or a headline you've heard on the radio. Ask simple questions like, "What do you think about that?" or "Does that seem fair to you?" Try to ask before offering your own opinion. This helps young people practice forming views rather than simply absorbing those of others. Second, model curiosity rather than correction. If your daughter says something you disagree with or something that sounds oversimplified, resist the urge to jump in with the right answer. Instead, ask, what makes you think that? Or where did you hear that? These questions build critical thinking and show that disagreement doesn't have to mean conflict. Third, help her navigate information online. Young people are exposed to huge amounts of content every day, much of it political in nature. Asking questions like, who wrote this? What might they want us to think? Or whose voices are missing here? Helps develop these skills needed to spot bias, misinformation, and one-sided arguments. Most importantly, let your daughter see respectful disagreement in action. Show her that it's possible to hold strong opinions whilst listening carefully to others, changing your mind, or agreeing to disagree. By creating space for open, respectful conversation, you're not telling your daughter what to think, you're helping her learn how to think, building confidence, critical awareness, and a sense that her voice matters. And that sense of agency is the foundation of political literacy for life.
Thank you very much to Miss Tibbetts-Forrest for those very pertinent and accessible ideas. And so on to prayer. It's hard to believe that this Sunday marks the beginning of February. Thank God that the darkest 10 weeks of winter are behind us and we are now gaining 2 minutes of daylight each day. It is appropriate that the 1st of February is the feast of St. Bridget, a 5th century Irish nun. Revered as a great light of faith and primary patron saint of Ireland alongside St. Patrick. In most Irish families, at least one girl will have Bridget as part of their name, myself included. St. Bridget was an inspirational and influential abbess, renowned for her wise leadership. She held up a lamp of learning to illuminate and empower the lives of the Irish, and especially of Irish women, by the transformative power of education. St. Bridget is also celebrated for her immense charity and the way in which she held the poor under the mantle of her compassionate care, performing miracles such as turning water into milk for a starving family, and making wheat grow from stones to feed hungry children. But above all, Bridget had total confidence of God's illuminating presence to guide her life, which gave her the courage to take on the darkness and despair of paganism, to transform hearts and minds with the joy and the light of the gospel. So I conclude with her enfolding prayer. Encircle me this night with your presence. Keep joy within. Keep bitterness out. Keep generosity within. Keep greed out. Keep love within. Keep self-seeking out. Keep light within. Keep darkness out. And so let's take a moment to pray for our great girls, that they will always, as St. Bridget said, keep light within and darkness out. Let's give thanks for the people who inspire us and bring us a lamplight of faith, hope, and love in our dark times. Saint Bridget prayed, I would like an abundance of peace and I would like cheerfulness to preside over all. May we follow in her footsteps in bringing peace and cheerfulness to our families this weekend. Saint Bridget, pray for us. Thank you for all of your great support, especially with our request to keep to the one-way system at the end of school. We're very grateful for all the successes of our SPG family and in our great girls who are such leading lights of spiritual, academic and personal success and embody that I am a St. Paul's girl and there is nothing I cannot achieve.